Hello and welcome back to the Soapbox for our day three highlights of Intergenerate. How was day three, Dad?
Yes, it all has come to an end as far as the actual conference goes today, so it won't be a long podcast today unless we start talking. There's a quite interesting subject that we had this morning. So once again, as I say, these are my highlights because there's a whole lot of papers and a whole lot of workshops being presented. So you've got to choose your own destiny as to where you go. And because I was actually hosting them, I have to go. But today was the one I really wanted to go to. So today's workshop, and really today was only one workshop and then bring it all to a conclusion. So then this afternoon, I met with the Andrews University Doctor of Ministry students and some extra students that came, not students, conference workers that came from Hong Kong and other Adventists. So they've sent their children's ministries, their youth ministries, their family ministries, their women's ministries, a retired professor and a pastor to all come and be here, which is quite an investment from Hong Kong. So that they've joined us with a debrief as well. And so we'll start with Tribeca, then move to the debrief. Now, Tribeca did a presentation on bridging the islands. So Tribeca is a lecturer. She has been at Azusa Seminary. I'm not sure she still is there. I should look that up before I actually got online. But she is a really good friend of mine, and we've sort of travelled similar journeys. In fact, she was quoting some of the books this morning. Couldn't quite remember where the quotes had come from, and I would say, yes, that's from this book or that's from this book and vice versa. So we've read similar books and been on a similar journey, and we're really good friends. So it was good to host her and spend some time with her. And she's written a book on the grandparenting effect, and she's a recent editor. I had the book here somewhere out.
Is that the children's spirituality one?
Yes. Oh, my laptop's on top of it. And here it is. It's going to move in a minute. The children's spirituality, children's ministry and the spiritual child, which is, for me, they're like my Bibles of children's ministries because these are the summary research of all the children's spirituality conferences that have happened over the years, which run in a similar format to what Intergenerate does. In fact, both of these conferences were started by Holly Allen, who has sort of stepped back from them both now. She's getting closer to retirement. But it was her brainchild to see both these conferences running. So,
awesome.
So, yeah, so she's just edited that book and really is a fantastic volume. If you're involved in children's ministries, it's worth getting. It's just on the market now. And so anyway, her topic today was bridging the islands, and it's basically looking at the bridge that bridges silos or islands together is the power of story. That was basically her premise. And she says that families have become like neighbouring islands without any bridges to connect them. That's a Jerome Berryman quote. He's the playful worship guru, and Tribeca quoted from him quite extensively. But he also, she said, that every human being needs to belong and know they belong to a meta-narrative, a story larger than right here and right now. And said often those stories are getting lost in our technological world, but also our fragmented family world. Often those stories are not being told anymore, the stories of the Bible, but also the stories of our family and how they intersect with God's story, and where we belong in God's story are not being told. So, yeah, she talked about that and what that means for us as practitioners and as pastors and leaders in churches as to what story looks like. So often also in our sermons, we don't tell the Bible story anymore. We exposit the Bible, we proof text the Bible, but we don't actually tell the story of the Bible.
I think that's a really interesting point, and I think we kind of touched on that a lot yesterday, but like today I spoke in a high school and a primary school chapel.
Yes, and how'd that go?
And that was great. It was amazing. But the key I find to speaking to an audience like that isn't to get up there and say, thus saith the Lord, and this Bible has lots of truth in it, and to exposit that. The best way to preach to them is actually to tell the story and to say, hey, this is a story that happened. And this is, and then to bring it back to a story that happened to me or that might have happened to them and relate it to their lives, and they can place and create a narrative when you preach in which each and every single person there can identify themselves or place themselves somewhere in that story. And I think that's something that perhaps many speakers have lost the art of. And as I think about that, I wonder, when did that happen? I know it's always been happening, but I think the advent of the celebrity preacher has forced most pastors to forget what it means to preach. And there's a book I read by a now kind of not very well thought of preacher, but I'm not going to quote him, but that book I read, it kind of opened my eye that we as pastors are never going to be able to compete with those celebrity preachers, which means that we actually have to think about who are we connecting with and bring our eyes down to the audience that's around us and connect with those people that are actually in front of us, not think that we are going to be competing with any of those other big names, because we're not meant to.
Yes. Yep. No, you're right. And you've got to be yourself and preach in your own armour. Trevecca comes from a church that actually goes through the liturgical year, and so the story is told. We as Adventists don't follow a liturgical year, and so sometimes the overarching story of God and God's rescue plan can get lost in our preaching. And yeah, the question is, where do the kids get the stories these days? Unless parents are reading the story to their kids and telling the story to their kids, which often, again, the parents are busy and time poor, or unless they're getting it through a Sabbath school. But are the kids going to Sabbath school consistently these days is another thing we need to think about. Or even at school through curriculum, not necessarily getting the meta-narrative or the overarching story of God and God's interaction in human history. And so, yes, she sort of showed how preaching through a liturgical year does at least get God's story across. So how we as Adventists do that is up to us, and I think it's up to us to equip parents to tell that story, but also maybe find ways to do that in our preaching as well. And Trevecca suggested pastors often preach series, but why not preach a series of consecutive chronological stories and show how God works through those stories?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot there I want to unpack, but I don't think it's for today. I think that is an episode that we can do in and of itself, but I think pastors often get themselves lost in the weeds of trying to increase the biblical literacy of their churches rather than trying to present a relationship with Jesus through story. And yeah. I think it's important for pastors to remember that it's not their job to increase the biblical literacy of their members. That sounds crazy. It is on the members to be reading and to be engaged in the word. If your sermon is the only Bible that someone's getting in the week, that's a long-term member, there's a bigger problem that you need to address that isn't your preaching.
That's right. The preaching always in the past has been the icing on the cake when we celebrate what God is doing in our lives, in our 24/7 lives. But I think that and maybe this is for another podcast as well, is God being squeezed out of our 24/7 living lives with all the busyness that we find ourselves in today?
Yeah, I think that's a discussion around Sabbath, that we've maybe lost our understanding of Sabbath, in that Sabbath becomes the only time in which we actually commune with God. And I think a lot of our people need to, and this comes to some pastors I know as well, and maybe I'm preaching to myself, you actually commune with God more regularly and turn it into a 24/7 faith rather than a seventh-day faith.
Yeah.
And in when we do that, and some of you can quote some research here that will be just coming out of your brain immediately, is that when we do that and our faith becomes lived, our kids will understand and pick up the meta-narrative from the lived faith of parents. And I think that's something that's important. But also another thing I find, and I think this is something that we as Adventists can learn from, that Trevecca has kind of raised here, is that because we don't do the liturgy, we've got to find a way to tell that story. And maybe it might mean that we in some way do a little bit of the liturgy, and that we recognize calendar a little bit.
Well, maybe in our children's story, we could look at setting, I mean, we preach series in our sermons, and the children's story is often an add-on. What if the children's story becomes a liturgy that preaches through the year and gives the kids an overarching story? And Trebecca was able to show us what she uses, and she said the kids remember the story, and by the end of the year, they have that meta-narrative. And a lot of food for thought. I mean, we as a church reject creeds, we reject liturgy, and we want to be a bit more free in our preaching, but what do we lose in doing that is a question up for debate, and maybe how do we replace that? And yes, if curriculum is not telling the meta-narrative, but even then, curriculum is useless unless it's actually been used by
exactly
parents at home and at church. So,
lots of food for thought.
Yes, a lot of food for thought. Another quote there I put in there, and I need to go and find it, but it's in one of Mark DeVry's Sustainable Youth Ministry books, and I couldn't quite pin it for the podcast, but she says it's there, and she was talking things about like service trips, and Mark DeVry says that if we just send the youth on a service trip together as youth, and we don't send families or don't send generations together, then it just becomes a youth activity. And what the research according to DeVries is saying is that families or youth that just do it in youth ministry graduate from serving. And he says, show me a church that just sends its youth on service trips and I will show you a church where the adults don't serve at all.
Yep.
That rocked me.
Okay. So there's a lot there, and it kind of fits with my theme of the week that I've actually had as well, which has been, how do I create intergenerational culture? And I spoke about this yesterday in a church, and in churches where so often all the adults say, I've done my service, it's time for someone else to take over. And if we pull out Growing Young, which is somewhere behind me over there, that's called throwing the keys at them. It's not actually mentoring them. Whereas what she's talking about is doing stuff with and the whole family discovering what it means to serve together. And I love that. And I think that's something that we as an Adventist church might be struggling with a little bit at the moment, in that we've got Storm Cove, which is great, but why don't we send families? Yeah. Why don't we send the parents along with their teenagers to go on that? And I think the best intergenerational thing that we actually do is Pathfinders, where dads go with their kids on expedition, and mums as well. There's plenty of mums that go on expedition together and go hiking for the weekend. But imagine if that was also something that happened during StormCo, when dads that have expertise in building and mums that have expertise in some other stuff as well can go and do a service project in a community together.
Yes, because what Trebek was saying is that even doing that creates a family story, creates a story that can be told and a memory. If just a youth comes out of memory, it's not embedded and not debriefed and doesn't become part of the family story. And so he said when they graduate from youth, they graduate from serving. And we also know if they're kept in silos, when they graduate from youth, they graduate from the church as well and show off their faith as well. So there's a lot to think about in Trebecca's presentation, and she always is challenging. And even though we don't see eye to eye, if you like, in our church tradition, we are the best of friends and are able to cross-pollinate and challenge each other and think about these things. So,
Yeah. What else was a highlight for you from today?
The other highlight was that they did a panel discussion and they got some of the experts that had been presenting during the week up on stage and asked them what their take-home moments were and what the learning was. And really, out of all of that discussion, what I took was we need to be prepared to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're prepared to sometimes nudge at the edges rather than saying we're going to remove all the pews this week. You'll find yourself run out of the church pretty quickly. So we've got to move slowly, but also be prepared to spectacularly fail in our attempts, and that's okay, because when you're innovating and when you're trying something different, failure is an option, as MythBusters say repeatedly, and that's something we need to bring into the church context as well. But if we spectacularly succeed, then what an awesome difference that's making for the church as well. So yeah, that was what each of them was saying. I think that really challenges us to begin experimenting at the edges and seeing where the winds are. And once people in the pews get a taste of what intergenerational can look like and participation can look like, they're not going to want to go back. But it's a matter of nudging slowly towards that.
Yeah, and I think along with that, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to make what we're already doing more intergenerational, more connected. It's all like a lot of what, particularly in the Adventist faith tradition, what we have has already naturally been far more intergenerational than what most other groups have. And it's about, okay, so we already do this. How can we make it even more successful?
Yep, not go to the silos and build bridges. And as I said earlier, story and telling story and telling our story and God's story and how we intersect with God's story is the best way to build a bridge between the generations, and is a natural way to do that. I find another way to do that is creativity. Some of the universal things are Lego and Play-Doh and balloons and some of those sorts of things, creative type stuff, cross generational divides as well and build bridges as well. So there's some things to think about.
Absolutely.
That concluded the conference, and if you want to read more about this, there's a new book just out that I also got, and I actually got the three authors I know of this to sign it for me as well. So one day this will be a collector's edition that maybe
you can sign. What is the title again?
The title is Intergenerational Christian Formation, Second Edition. So okay. The first edition was edited by Holly Allen and Christine Lawton. Mm-hmm. And this has just been released just before the conference. And the latest cutting edge person involved in this is Corey Seibel. So he's now been added as an author. So the whole thing's been re-edited and updated. And it is like the Bible of intergenerational Christian formation. So I would challenge all pastors and practitioners to, if they want to look at what it means to be generational, is to grab a copy of this and have a read with their leaders and, yes, a lot of food for thought and discussion in this volume. So there's a first edition, which is good, but this is a second edition. So make sure you get the second edition, not the first edition, because the first edition is still available. And, yeah, it also shows how much has changed in the last 10 years or so, because intergenerational is a fairly new discipline theologically. The Yandra's cohorts, the first cohort's just coming to an end now where they're doing their dissertations, and some of the Andrews students will probably be some of the presenters at the next Intergenerate forum, and I explained how they'll get published in the next book, and they're all quite excited about that. So
awesome. Well, it sounds like it was a great conference, and then you had this catch up with Steve and the other Adventists. How did that go?
Yes, that was this afternoon, and the main thing we discussed this afternoon, apart from getting to know each other and looking at what our highlights were at the conference, was a discussion around, is intergenerational worship or being intergenerational the goal, or is it the process and method? That's the question that Steve posed when he spent a fair bit of time discussing that and running around in circles, and some were saying, yes, it's the goal. Some were saying, no, it's a process, methodology. In the end, the conclusion was that it is the process. It is a methodology. If it was a goal, then we'll reach it and we get a badge or something to say you've done it, but it really is ongoing. It's a way of doing, and so it's a process. We can set many goals along the way, but intergenerational is a way of being, a way of doing, a way of doing life together. So it's a process and a method that is always changing. And I explained that even the definition of what it means to be intergenerational is not really locked down yet. It's growing and changing because it's a fairly new theological discipline that's been looked at. It's only going for about 8 to 10 years at the most. So,
yeah.
So that's what we discussed. We also spent some time looking at what we as an Adventist church can bring to this and what we can learn from the wider community that we were with for the last 3 days when it comes to intergenerational. And that was challenging for some because some think the Adventist church shouldn't read outside of our denomination, and some think that, yes, we should. And so there's a bit of a discussion around that. But, yes, one thing that Steve pointed out is that one thing we can offer, which is intergenerational, is the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And a lot of those in the intergenerational area and children's ministries area are discussing Sabbath, and some scholars are writing some extra material, like Walter Brueggemann, around Sabbath and Sabbathing well. And what Steve said is that the Adventists have what we call the Adventist truth. And when you look at what the churches are producing out there, they're producing what they call the Sabbath spirit. And we as Adventists need a bit more Sabbath spirit, and those out there need a bit more Sabbath truth. So there might be an intersection point somewhere
there. Amen. Amen. I had the best conversation about Sabbath with someone outside of our faith tradition this week, and they're my individual supervisor. That yes. I've gone and got myself, and it was like, man, we're missing something. Like I think there is something that a lot of people are missing out on that Sabbath spirit, and I think we've all got something to learn from each other. It doesn't mean we have to take everything, but I love the fact that Steve was facilitating a conversation. But also more than that, I think our philosophy of church already as an organization is relatively intergenerational. And so I think it already should naturally be a process that we do. It's not something we're going to reach or attain, but it should be a way that we think when we come and approach church. So I love that conversation was something that Steve and all those there facilitated and took part in.
Yes, yes. So overall, I found the conference was worth coming to. A lot of food for thought for me to think about, a lot of books to read when I'm bringing home. I hope I'm not too overweight with the books. And Also, I should just point out quickly, this book is coming out in October. It is the last conference.
All Ages Becoming.
Yep, and it's by Valerie Grissom, who I met here at the conference, the editor. Intergenerational Practice in the Formation of God's People. So it'll be in our bookstores and online at Kindle in October. And again, well worth, for those that want to go on a journey, a great resource to add to your collection. But most of all, I think the thing that needs to be asked is what can I, this had a conference concluded, by the way, is that what can I do in my corner, in my sphere of influence, to bring a little bit of intergenerational to what I do and how I do life and how I live. That means that the building bridges between generations around you, in your family, in your community, and in your church. And if we all do a little bit of intergenerational, then we would change the world for the better.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, I think that's a great place to conclude. And so do have a safe trip back, and I'll see you on Monday morning our time, New South Wales time, at Sydney Airport. And keep an eye out for a couple of upcoming episodes that we hope to make. There's some big things going on out in the world of popular culture, particularly around some heavy topics that we want to discuss. So we hope to have a couple of guests on very soon to discuss. But with that, I think that's about all we have for today. And so over and out, and have a safe trip back, Dad.
See you when I get home. Bye, everyone.